Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And we do thank you for taking time out of your day to share the Word of God with us. Amen, amen, amen. We'd like to let you know we are in an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that we have speakers on preaching and teaching the Word of God and you have an opportunity of calling in and sharing what is on your heart. Amen. We open up the mics. When we do open up the mics, you have an opportunity to share at that time. Amen. And we do thank you for being a part of this evening. Amen. I like to think of Psalms 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen, amen, amen. You know, and Jeremiah goes on to say, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And if there's a time that we need to stay in the Word of God, it is now, especially with this COVID going on and everything that is happening nationally and even within our communities. We need to be in prayer and studying the Word of God. Amen. And I believe that that is the key to being able to get through this. Amen, amen, amen. We also like to let you know that as you listen to this message, you can go to the archives and you can share it with a family or a friend. Amen. Be a blessing or bless them by the Word of God. Amen. The call-in number for the archives is, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and then type in We Can Begin Again. Go to Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up this message, amen, or any one of the messages that we have.
Or you can follow the link. Follow the link on Facebook or Twitter or with John and I, our pages.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We are going to not belabor this time. We'd like to move on over into Chicago and where we have Bishop Harris, a man from Chicago, Illinois. And after we pray, the next voice you hear will be Bishop Harris out of Chicago, Illinois. He is the bishop, and he's Bishop Harris, and he's the founder of Bishop Harris Ministries in Chicago, Illinois. Amen. And I'm looking forward to hearing what this man of God has to share with us this evening. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Father, for coming together, Heavenly Father, to having a mind to take out time to hear the Word of God. We thank you for your Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, we thank you for your Word, Heavenly Father. We thank you for Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. And we know, Heavenly Father, that he is returning. So we thank you for that, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit this evening, Heavenly Father. You say that where two or three that come together in your name, you would be in the midst. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you bless the speaker this evening. Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would hear a word on high, Heavenly Father, that will bless us through our journey. We thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise in the majestic name of Jesus Christ. We pray this prayer. Amen, amen, amen. Now we're going to move on over into Chicago. Bishop Harris, are you there?
Amen, I am. Amen. I truly count it an honor and a privilege and a blessing to be on this evening. And just like the song said, we can begin again. And
amen.
I thank God because he's the God of a second chance.
Amen.
And no matter what the situation is or no matter what you've done, we can begin again. And I like to make that known because, see, there might be somebody listening who feels, look, I've done exactly too much. But I'm here to tell you that you're the person that God is looking for because he hung on the cross and died for your sins. And so no matter what you've done or what it seems like in your life, you can begin again. And so I truly thank God for that, and I thank God for that song, amen, because I'm just so overwhelmed with the understanding that God has began to give me in these later years. You know, when I was younger, I thought I had an understanding, but the older you get, the more you learn. And I begin to understand some things. And, you know, I look at what we're going through right now, and just like my cousin said, during this time of COVID and during everything that's going on right now, God is still in the midst.
Yes,
and I don't care how dim it looks, God is still on the throne.
Amen.
I pray.
Yes,
I said, God, I don't understand this. And I don't understand what's going on, but I come to the conclusion that it ain't always for us to understand.
That's right.
But I tell you this, there's one thing that I do know. The blood still prevails.
Amen.
And it don't matter what it looks like, the blood still prevails.
Well, still
amen.
Works. Still
the
works.
Blood,
amen.
There you go. The blood still works. The blood
yes,
still
sir.
Works. Amen. We're going to move forward this evening. I am just so elated to be given this honor to have this platform to be able to give the word of God a check, especially considering some of the men and women of God I've heard in the last few weeks. I'm telling you, my heart has been blessed because I've been able to go back to the archives and listen, and I have been truly blessed. I must say, I really have been truly blessed. And I only pray that I can keep up with the men and women of God that have come before me. Amen. But we're going to go to 2 Kings. The fourth chapter, 2 Kings, the fourth chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a minute to get it.
All right.
Do
all right.
One more time.
Okay. Fourth chapter.
2 Kings, fourth chapter. I got to go back. Okay, there we go. 2 Kings, the fourth chapter. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elijah, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsman." And I'm going to stop right there, because in these trying times that we're living in, and with the uncertainty of jobs and unemployment, how many of us have hit that spot that maybe it wasn't our husband that died, but our job died?
Mm-hmm.
See, her husband was her source of being taken care of. And now her source was gone, and she was like, "What do I do? Look, you know, prophet, I believed in God, but what am I supposed to do?" How many of us have hit that spot? I get up and I pray, but my bank account is negative. What am I supposed to do? I go to church and I've been a faithful tithe payer, but since the pandemic I lost my job and things ain't looking right. What am I supposed to do? But she said, "My husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servants did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my sons to be bondsmen." And Elijah said unto her, "What shall I do for you?" Pretty much Elijah was like, not being mean, but what you want me to do? But she spoke up. She's like, "Yeah, yeah, well, what can I do? How can I help you?" Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Then he said, tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of thy neighbors. And I'm going to stop right there for a second, because my topic for tonight is get your pot and run.
All right.
And I use that term loosely. But he told her to get the pot of oil that she had. He told her to go, and he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of thy neighbors, even empty vessels. And I began to look at that, and I began to say, now, let's take that, and we're going to put that in everyday language. Because you poor, you broke, and this essence to creditors was coming. Maybe you had a good credit score, but because of COVID and because of losing your job, you ain't been able to pay some bills, and now bills are coming at you, and you're not used to that. But he told this lady, he said, go and borrow vessels. Now, how many of us would do that? If, in fact, you told me, Bishop, I don't know what to do. I'm about to get evicted. I lost my job. My unemployment has ended. And I don't know what to do. I don't have no way to get no food. I don't have no way to get nothing. And I told you, you know what? Go and ask everybody you know to give you a pot. Or even better, I told you, I said, go and go get every empty bag that you can get. How would you react? But see, there's a thing called blind faith.
That's right.
And that's why I said, get your pot and run. Because I know it was a pot in here, but the proverbial pot is, get what it is that you don't have and go do what God told you to do. See, so many times we want to question it. Okay, I heard that, but that don't make sense. I hear what the preacher is saying. He's saying, trust on nothing. That don't make sense. I don't understand. But I began to look, and I said, okay, so what is faith? Faith is the belief that, Let me go back and do that. Faith is the belief that is not based on proof. I'm going to say that again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the belief that's not based on proof. Hebrews tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. Anybody know what substance is?
Mm-hmm.
It's the makeup of something that we can't even see that we got to hope for. Blind faith. It's the substance of that which is hoped for and the evidence of that that we cannot see.
Okay.
The Bible tells us that faith is the substance to things that you hope for. In other words, faith brings those things into your life. He brings those things into your life that you can't see. Mm. Faith is the catalyst to what you're reaching for, but that you don't know that's there.
Mm-hmm.
I know you say, Bishop, that don't make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You gotta look at the story. See, God doesn't show you everything.
That's
sometimes
right.
You just got to move and step on his word.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go back to the scripture. And it says, as we go further down, so he told her, he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Look, don't borrow just a little. Go get as many as you can. And when thou
mm-hmm.
art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee
mm-hmm.
and thy sons. I like that
mm-hmm.
because, see, God will take you around the corner
mm-hmm.
and bless you and then bring you back out into the light. See, everything ain't everybody's business.
That's
I
right.
like that, Pastor. Everything ain't everybody's business because I'm here to tell you everybody ain't praying for you.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody ain't got your best interest at heart.
Right.
That's right.
I'll tell you tonight.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to shut your mouth and stop telling your business.
That's right.
Mm.
See, everybody, some people are jealous. You think they praying for you, but they praying against you because they don't want to see you prosper.
There you go.
See, sometimes
there you go.
People like to see you in the state that you in
mm-hmm.
because it makes them feel better.
That's right.
So sometimes you gotta learn to just be quiet. And so he said, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him. She shut the door upon her
mm-hmm.
and upon her sons
mm-hmm.
who brought the
That's
vessels
right.
to her and
uh-huh.
she poured out.
Yeah.
And it came to pass when the vessels
oh,
were full
uh-huh.
that she said unto her sons,
bring me
yet a vessel. Ha. And he said
yeah,
unto
no.
her, there is not a vessel more, and
wow.
the oil stayed.
Whoa.
Then she yeah. came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debts, and live thou and thy children off the rest. I read that and I was amazed because, first of all, she blew me. And I'm sorry, you got to understand, I'm not typical when it comes to ministering. You know, I don't use big words and big phrases.
It's okay.
That's not where
it's
I come
good.
From.
It's good. It's good.
You know, that's
good.
Not,
that's all right.
That's not the person
make
that God made me.
Jesus
but,
make it
see,
come on.
One thing I've learned, and I know that if I don't know nothing else, I know faith.
Okay.
Because I know what God has done for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it's okay if I just testify a little bit.
Because Go ahead.
A couple of years ago, I was told, you're going to lose your leg and we don't know if you're going to walk because you got to lose your leg. I laid in a hospital bed and I said, God, why? Why do I got to lose my leg? I said, God, I got hurt opening the church, doing your will. I don't understand why. But I trust you. I said, God, if it's meant and if it's your will, I'll walk again. I lost my leg in January, and I was walking in February.
Praise God.
The rehab facility told me that we haven't seen no one come together and do this. But I said, what y'all don't understand is that it's not my willpower. But it's the God that's within me. Because, see, I know that I know that I know. And like I said in the beginning, I know that the blood still works.
Yeah.
They told me, they said, well, we don't know how your quality of life is going to be. We don't know how things are going to work out. But I'm here to tell you today, I walk up and down the stairs of my house every day. I go anywhere I want to go. I do whatever I want to do. I was at the doctor last week, and the lady behind the counter came off from behind the counter, and she saw me, and she had never really paid attention to me walking to the counter, and she was like, I would have never known that you had a prosthetic. She was like, because I can't tell by the way you walk and come and go. And I said, God is good. But I say that to say that just like this lady, I had to get my pot and I had to run. I didn't want to lose my leg. It's the last thing in the world. I said, God, my whole quality of life is going to change. Everything about me is going to change. I don't understand this. Why is this happening to me? But yet, by the glory of God, I was able to get up and become a testimony. And what I come to tell you tonight, I got scriptures, but God is taking me another way because there's somebody that's listening that you're going through right now, and you're dealing with some things that you're dealing with some situations, but I'm here to tell you, get your pot and run because God has seen and God has spoken and he's about to open the door. But I tell you tonight that once the door is open, you got to get up and you got to move. Procrastination is not an option. Get your pot and run. I begin to read and I begin to look at a couple more scriptures there. I was looking in Psalms, and I went over to Psalms 119 and 14. Let me see where, I'm sorry. I got notes everywhere and a bunch of places. But in Psalms, it says, you are my refuge and my shield.
Yes.
I have put my hope in your hand. You are my refuge and my shield. How many of us have allowed God to become your refuge and your shield?
Yes.
Or
Amen.
Was your job
Amen.
Your refuge?
Yeah.
Was the money that you was making your refuge?
Mm.
See, we are living in a time now that faith is not an option. Faith is a necessity.
Amen.
Because
right.
I used to hear
That's
when
right.
I was younger, we walk by faith. But I'm here to tell you, during this time of 2020, I've learned what it means to walk by faith.
Mm-hmm.
See, in order to walk by faith, sometimes you got to step out on the water.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a water walker.
Mm.
And see, the thing is, when you step out on the water, you can't lose sight on God. See, we let our bills make us lose sight on God. We let the fact that the job might have left make us lose sight on God. The fact that they may have sent you a letter in the mail that says that they're ready to foreclose makes you lose sight on God. The fact that they might have told you it's about to be an eviction or make you lose sight on God, but you got to step out on the water and you got to remember who God is.
Amen.
That's who he is.
How he knows what he has done and where he has brought you. So we look at the lady and we look at what she was going through. Her sons was about to be taken from her. Same way your house might have been about to be taken from you. This lady didn't see nothing. She had a little bit of olive oil. A little bit. She said, a little bit. I was reading, I think, in the NIV, and she said, I've got a teaspoon of olive oil. How many know what a teaspoon is?
All right.
I got anybody that cook on the line?
Yeah.
Can you do anything with a teaspoon of olive oil for real, for real? Except take it and maybe use it for some blow soil? So imagine, I want you to imagine, go with me on the wings of imagination tonight. Imagine you got a pot.
Mm-hmm.
And all it has is a corner of oil.
That's the corner.
But you got a room full of vessels.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to imagine this, because it'll make me scratch my head. I'm sitting there scratching my head because I'm imagining while I'm sitting in my office that I got an office full of empty vessels. Anybody know about having an empty vessel and being an empty vessel? That's a whole other sermon about being an empty vessel. But you got a room full of empty vessels. What he never said was that the pot of oil ever got filled up. Did anybody hear me say that? Because it never said that she had a full pot of oil, did it? What it said is that she took the oil she had and she started pouring. Now, how many of us could actually do that? How many could take a corner of oil and start pouring it and believing that something going to happen?
That it never
But as she began to pour, I get excited. As she began to pour, something about the presence of God. And see, my daddy, the late bishop, used to tell me, a handful and God, and that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then my spiritual father told me, he said, put God in it and watch what he does. So now,
a little
we got, we got a bunch of pots, and we got a little bit of oil, but we got a whole lot of God.
Mm-hmm.
And as I begin to imagine, she began to pour that oil, saying, I don't know how this is going to happen, but she began to pour, and as she began to pour, she looked down and noticed that the vessel that she was pouring it into was full, but the oil was still coming. So I'm pretty sure she said, come on, bring me another vessel, bring me another vessel. And she began to pour, and that vessel began to fill up. And before she knew it, she had filled up every vessel. And when she said, bring me another vessel, there was no more vessels. And once there were no more vessels, the oil was no more. Ain't God so?
Amen.
He knew the exact amount of oil that she needed.
Mm-hmm. He knew exactly.
And gave her the exact amount of oil she needed to fill up every pot.
Mm-hmm.
And as we begin to look down further in the lesson, not only was it enough oil to fill up every vessel, but there was enough for her to go sell, pay her creditors.
Uh-huh.
But hold on.
And live.
God didn't just stop there. Because he said, I know my thoughts. Mm. It didn't say that her and her sons lived in poverty no more. It didn't say that she had enough just to pay the creditors.
Mm-hmm.
But after she paid the creditors, there was some more for her to live on.
Amen.
See, God knows exactly what you need, but you have to trust him.
Gotta trust him.
Anybody know what it means to trust God? This don't make sense, God. I don't understand. It ain't for you to understand. Because I read where he said that he would, hold on, let me find my scripture. I'm sorry. But he said that he takes the foolish things.
Mm-hmm.
The foolish things.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, that was 1 Corinthians 1:27.
Okay.
God takes the foolish things, as my dad used to say, to confound the wise. Because, mm-hmm. see, we can take all the education we want, but our education and our smarts and everything else can't touch God. And sometimes God moves in a way that we just don't understand. God does things that we just don't know. But what I realize is that if we just stand still, get out the way, and allow God to do God. See, we got to allow God to do God. God said, look, watch me show up and show out. So what I've learned about God, God likes to show off sometimes. Sometimes I imagine that God sits there and he be like, hey, they think they're going through something, but watch this. Boom. And look at that. And you sitting and you like, wow. And he was like, yeah, you didn't even think that was possible.
Mm-hmm.
See, just when she thought it was over, just when she was at her wit's end, that's when the door began to open. See, man's extremity is God's opportunity. When you have come to your wit's end, see, you don't you wonder, why am I at my wit's end? Because God said, now that you're at your wit's end, you'll get your simple self out the way and let me show you something. But see, we think sometimes we know. I've read and I know and I've studied and I know. And God is saying, if you don't sit your simple self down. But see, once you reach the end of your rope. Whew, I'm excited because there's something about being at the end. Because as I just heard the man of God say, the end is just the beginning. I tell you tonight that your end is God's beginning.
Amen.
You thought the door was shut. God said, no, I just had to cut you a new set of keys. Because your keys didn't work. Your keys didn't work for the lock that I had to open for the door to be here. But see, sometimes God lets you get to your wit's end for a reason. Because see, I realized something I've learned over the years, because that when you get to your wit's end, a lot of people start leaving you.
That's right.
See, when you get down, I done been there. When you done had the big house and the fancy cars and all of the things of the world, and you think you live it. Because see, we place so much on having things and owning things, and you know, I used to have this belief, he who has the most toys wins the game. But I realized that it's not about that. Because see, you have a full entourage of people when you got a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But little do you know, they just all around you to get what they can get from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's
you have
right.
a whole entourage of people when you making good money. When you got a big church and you got the best organist and the liveliest praise team, oh, you have everybody showing up.
Everybody
but when
show
you
up.
Just
You're
got
right. come on,
when you just got a few people. And you preaching the wrong word of God, people don't want to be bothered. See, ain't no glitch, ain't no glitch.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy.
Same
You're
way
right.
we in the
I'm
life.
In that boat now.
it's the truth.
Yeah.
Ain't no glitch. Ain't no glamour. So people decide, I don't want to be bothered. Same way it is in life. See, you doing good in life, everybody want to be around you. Because they think if they're around you, they can get some of what you got.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to really work for mine, but I want to get some of yours. So I'm going to act like I'm your friend so I can hang around and get some of the blessings. But see, the Bible told me don't give your pearls to the swine.
That's
Sometimes
right.
God has to cut you off and has to shut you down so that some people that are around you will disappear because they didn't mean you no good in the beginning. And the minute
right.
that you start to lose everything, that's when they leave and start to talk about you. You know, sister so-and-so, I heard she's going to lose her place. Not we need to pray for her. I heard she was getting evicted and lost her job, and they just on the phone just to gossiping. But last week, before you lost your job, they were trying to borrow $50 from you.
That's right.
But see, God knows that they don't mean you no good.
Mm-hmm. That's already true.
He has to let you sometimes get to a place where they'll disappear. And then he'll tell you, look, I got something for you, but I need you to come in here and shut the door. You know, my dad used to do that.
Yeah,
my father,
that's what I was going to say.
Would tell me, say, look here, I got a little something for you, because I remember last week, when did nobody want to take the garbage out? You took the garbage out. You did what you need to do, but I don't want everybody to know. So you come over here in the room, and I'm going to give you a little something. You put it in your pocket and keep it to yourself. I'd be just excited, and guess what? I'd put it in my pocket and keep it to myself. You know why? Because I wanted him to do it again. Sometimes that's how God will do us. God says, look at here. I got to take you off and on. I got to get you away from your kindred. I got to get you away from the people that you around. I got to get you by yourself. And now I got to show you faith. And I got to show you faith in the raw. See, faith in the raw comes out and it gives you something, because the Bible said if you just have the grain of a mustard seed, the faith, the grain of a mustard seed. You know how small a mustard seed is? It's a little bit smaller than the amount of oil she had. But he said, if you have just enough faith, he didn't do the thing. He didn't say nothing about having a whole lot of faith.
No, he didn't say
your faith ain't got to be bench pressing 350. Your faith ain't got to be muscle bound and swole, and you ain't got to have super faith. Mm-mm. He said the faith, a little faith, the size of the grain of a mustard seed. A mustard seed. And he said, you can say to the mountain, be thou removed. Understand that. Just a little bit. And then sprinkle in some God. And it'll move the entire mountain that you're dealing with. God, I'm tired. I don't know if I got anything left. I only got a little bit. God said, that's all it takes is a little bit. That's all I need from you is just a little belief. All I need you to do is believe just a little bit. All I need you to do is just trust me a little bit. All I need you to do is believe me just a little bit and watch the door that I open, because I know the thoughts that I think of you. I got thoughts to prosper you. I got thoughts to send you on, but I need you to trust me just a little bit. Just a little bit. Whew, I'm excited, but I'm going to stop and open the floor just in case we got any comments.
Hallelujah. All right, Bishop.
Amen. Amen.
How you doing?
I was looking.
How you doing there? That is a word for us tonight. I was thinking that the people on the line and everyone that listens to Blog Talk, they can remember just a few weeks ago the definition of faith that I shared with them, and I want to share it with you if you didn't hear it.
Okay.
And I love the way you put it, but I listened to Pastor James Ford out of Chicago, and he put faith. He says faith is believing that it is so, even when it's not so, until it becomes so, because God says so. And I was just blown away by you talking about faith. And I was thinking, when you were talking about the jars being empty, and you know, if she would have gotten more jars, God would have given her more oil.
Yes, he would.
And when you're talking about the little bit of oil that was in the container, I went all the way back to the Elder Clay. You might remember this. I went all the way back to the 70s when there was a commercial that came on TV, and it was about a hair grease. And it was called Dippity Doo. And behind that, they said, just a little dab of do. And I was thinking about that very phrase when you were talking about the little bit of oil in a jar and how it worked, just that little bit, how just a little bit of faith will work. And I just said to myself, I said, yeah, yeah.
That's that creation formula 16. A little dab of hair. A little dab of hair. That's what it is. For men who use their head about their hair. That's what it is. Creature Formula 16.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I was wanting to share with where that took my mind to when you started talking about this message tonight, like this topic, get your pot and run. I like it. Thank you, Bishop.
Oh, no problem. Hey, man, and that I know if you're listening to Pastor Ford, then I know you listening to a preaching man. I grew up with Jimmy Floyd.
Okay.
He was a great, great, great friend of my father's, the late Bishop Harris. And, so I know definitely, yes. Yeah. I'm going to go over real quick to 1 Kings, and I'm going to jump to 1 Kings 17 and 14. But thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. I had to bring that in to tie that in, because, see, this was faith again. Because the man of God came to her, and I'm paraphrasing, and said, hey,
okay,
look, I'm hungry, and I need you to make me a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, put that in today's terms, that's going to be a hard no, because all I got is enough for me and my son, mm-hmm. and we're going to go mm-hmm. eat our last meal. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was just telling the man, like, look, we've already made up our minds. We ain't got no way to get nothing else. We have nothing. We're desolate. We're going to eat our last meal, and we're going to die. And he said, well, make me one first. I'm pretty sure she was like, look, bro, that's a lot of nerve. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, let me ask you a question. So, you ain't got nothing left. You don't have nothing left.
Right.
And I come to you, and I say, Elder, give me $20 first. He said, look, wait a minute. All I got is
$20. No. I ain't got no $20.
I ain't even got that. And I said, well, give me what you got.
Ooh-wee.
He said, $20? I ain't got that. I said, well, give me what you got. You going to really give it to me? No. The chances are, I don't care what prophet I am. You're going to be like, hey, you better profit on. I got to get to work the rest of the week. You better move on, bro. I need gas. It's just Wednesday. I got to get to work for 2 more days. You talking about give you what I got left? But blind faith. And I say that because, see, that's how God does it. Do you trust me?
Mm-hmm.
Then do what I told you to do. We say we trust God until God put us in a real position. Talk all day. I trust you, God. Oh, Lord, I love you, God. I trust you, Lord. I love you. All right, give me your last $10. Devil, you a lie. First thing we say, that ain't God. God ain't saying give my last $10 to you. The devil is a lie. And then as soon as we get done, we get on our knees. God, I trust you. God, I love you. And then we, God, why? Why ain't this happening? God said, why you didn't do what I told you to do? So we go over here, and the man of God told the lady, said, look here. Here's how we're going to do this. You're going to make me a cake first. And if you make me a cake first, you're going to be good until it rains. And you got to understand, at this time, it had never rained. So, she's like, until it rains, what is that? And she obeyed the man of God. And let me show you how God works. Let me show you how God works. She did, it said, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And because she did what God said, God didn't just bless her. Because it said, she, her son, and the man of God ate. It said everybody, Elijah and she and he and her house, did eat for many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. And now, here's the thing.
You never let out.
Again, I'm going to show you how faith works. It never said that the barrel of wheat filled up. But every time she went in there, there was still something. Anybody get that?
Yeah,
he might not fill up your bank account, but every time you need something, you won't be at a zero balance. It said that the oil,
something in there.
It said that it kept coming. How many know that's how God will do you? If you trust him, just when you thought you was broke, somebody will come and slide something in your hand. And tell you, I don't know why, but God told me to be a blessing to you. Just when you think ain't nothing else left and I can't get no lower, somebody will come and be a blessing to you. I tell you tonight, trust God. Don't look at the pandemic. Don't look at what's going on around you. Don't see what's happening. See God.
Wow.
Trust God. Get your pot and run. God bless you this evening. Back into the hands of the man in God.
Amen. Any quick before we come. Yes. Bishop, let me interject here and say that I am so glad that you said about just when you need something, God had it right there. We were in church about 2 weeks ago, and I left my my debit card quit working at the teller machine, and I'm telling you, I didn't have anything to pay my tithes or give an offering, but I went to church anyway, and I found in my wallet, in the corner of my wallet, a $20 bill. Put that $20 bill in the offering plate. And when I put that $20 bill in the offering plate, after we counted the offering, now let me remind you, we only had six people in church. After we counted the offering, we had $520 in the offering plate.
Amen.
I tell you, I know God will do it.
Yes, he will.
I know he'll do it. I'm a witness, just as sure as Paul was. I'm a witness.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Any other comments before we come?
Amen. We have so many numbers on, and I guess, you know, I always say that when you're being fed, you know, and the food is good, you just don't say nothing. You just
want
to.
Well, I would like to, I like to say, I like Brother Bishop, his humbleness in delivering the word, simple to understand style. And I want to speak into you, Brother Bishop, like you spoke into me. Small, and I've said this before, small things get big things done. Even in the scripture that you read in 1 Corinthians, even Paul himself said, you don't use big words, paraphrasing scripture to make it to none effect. You reach more people by reaching the plain, which are easy to understand style. You keep on keeping on. Put your shoulder to the wheel and push. And don't be ashamed of your style because see, God gave it to you.
Amen.
That's right.
God
Amen.
Bless you.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Praise God. And what an example, because I'm Edna, Miss Edna from Long Island, New York, and what an example you set, Bishop, as did Christ. He came simple but yet profound. And your word was profound, sir. I enjoyed it because that little mustard seed faith and that open door, we can do it all. We can do it all if we keep our trust in God. I enjoyed you. I hope you'll be back again. I know you will. I know the doctors will bring you back. To
Amen.
God be the glory,
Amen.
Sir. I enjoyed you. Definitely.
Amen.
I'm going to go back and listen to this again. Get your
Amen.
Pot and run. I'm getting my pot and I'm running. To God
Amen.
Be the glory. Running Amen. Through that open door that's open, wide open. God bless
yes.
you, sir. God bless
Thank you.
You.
Amen. Amen. This is Elder Yvette Beasley, and I am calling from Chicago, Illinois, supporting the man of God who is going forward today in a mighty way. I want to thank you, Bishop, for the word. I'm gonna have to throw that out on social media. Get your pot and run. We have to learn that we cannot walk by what we see, but the Bible says you got to walk by faith and not by sight. Get your pot and run. So I'm grateful to God for the word. I'm grateful for the simplicity that you allow God to use you to expound on it, that is able to be palatable for all of us to feast at the table. So glory be to God for what he is doing. I pray for increase. I pray for more doors to open. I pray that your ministry stay ignited in Jesus' name. Have a blessed evening.
Amen.
Get your partner in, Lord.
Amen. 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 I truly thank God for the opportunity. I thank God for the man and woman of God, and for the platform that they have, and for the open door that they're allowing for the platform, amen? So I thank God for them, and I thank God because it's nobody but God.
Yeah.
Nobody but God. And what I've learned is in this day and time, if you don't do nothing else, you got to trust him. You might not see it, but it ain't made for you to see. There's the old saying, and a lot of people think it's a scripture, and it's actually not. But it's an old church saying, and it says, the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to he that endures to the end. And the thing is, and you got to endure. It ain't about how fast you can run. Because there's a story that's been told for years about the tortoise and the hare. And the hare thought that he was just so fast. And he took off and left the tortoise. But my daddy used to tell me, he said, the tortoise was slow and steady.
Steady.
Rabbit took off, prideful, fast, went, ran, and took him a nap and fell asleep, but slow and steady.
Steady.
And tortoise kept going.
and it's his steadiness. See, he had his mind set on winning. And so I'm telling you this evening, you might be slow, but as long as you're steady.
Wow.
You might not be climbing to the top of the mountain right away, but just keep your mind on God. Keep your eye on the prize and know that he has something in store for you. I told you the scripture. I quoted. He said, I know the thoughts that I think of thee. And see, here's the thing. Before you were ever born, God already knew what he had planned for you. And he didn't just say, I know it. He said, but the thoughts to prosper you. But he said, for him to prosper you, not for you to prosper you. See, and that's what we got to realize, that our time is not God's time. Our time is not God's time. What God got planned for us. See, what happens, you get busy trying to do everything yourself, and you just step in the middle of it and mess it up. I was looking at a picture on social media yesterday, and the picture just made so much sense to me. It was a little girl. She had a little bitty teddy bear. And the dad was trying to take the teddy bear from her, but only because he had a surprise of a bear twice the size of the one she had. But she couldn't see it, so she didn't want to let go of the teddy bear that she had. And so many times that's how we are. We're trying to hold on to something that ain't even good for us when God got something better in store. But because we can't see it, we like, oh, I ain't letting go of what I got. No, I don't think so. I ain't letting go of this. And God is saying, just let go. I used to tell a story when I was growing up. I'm going to tell this and I'm going to give it back to the man of God. But they said there was a man. He was on a mountain. And he tripped and he fell. And he wound up hanging on the cliff of the mountain. And he began to holler, help! Is there anybody up there? And he heard nothing. He began to holler, help! Is there anybody up there? And finally he heard a voice. And the voice said, I'm here. He said, help! And the voice said, let go. He said, huh? And the voice said, let go. And he said, help, is there anybody else up there? And so many times, that's how we are. God is saying, let go. But we can't let go. God is saying, trust me and let go and watch what I got in store. And we just like the guy. Is there anybody else up there? Because we don't understand. And what we don't understand and what we can't see, we can't trust. But understand what blind faith is. I've sit up and played with it. See, when you close your eyes, you can't see where you're going. You ever did a trust fall where you got to trust the person behind you and you got to fall and they got to catch you? And for a lot of people, that's the hardest thing in the world to do. I went to classes where they've done those, and people can't do it because they don't have no trust. And that's the same way we are with God. We lie to God every day. Every morning we get up and pray, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I believe you. And then when God tells us to do something, the first thing we do is say, that ain't God. Then you wonder, why ain't you getting blessed? Stop lying to God. Either trust him or stop telling him you trust him. Don't tell me that you love me every day, but then when I ask you to do something for me, you're like, oh, I can't do that. The same way we do God. Lord, I trust you. I want to do your will. I believe what you say. God said, okay, well, I need you to go do this. Oh, no, that ain't God. I can't do that. And then you say, well, why am I in the predicament that I'm in? I thought I was doing the right thing. No, you wasn't trusting God. You was trusting your paycheck. There's a big difference between trusting your paycheck and trusting God. Because God forbid, but you lose your job tomorrow, how are you going to react?
Praise God.
It's the truth.
Praise God.
It's the truth. How are you going to react? I know, because see, I can talk about it. When I got sick and I started going through and I realized I wasn't going to be able to work no more and I wasn't going to be able to make the type of money that I was making and I didn't think I was going to be able to live the way I wanted to live and I wasn't going to be able to have what I wanted to have, I was like, I don't get it. And then I told you, I broke my ankle. Something as simple as me breaking my ankle made me wind up losing my leg. And I couldn't sue, and I couldn't do nothing. And I'm like, God, what do I do? But I'm here to say, I said, and I told you I was mad. Because I was mad with God. God, why did you let this happen to me? And now I'm out here bogus. And I can't make it. And I don't understand. And it was like that for quite some time. But now I make more money than I did when I was at work. God bless me. I'm in a home.
Praise God.
I said, God, I don't want to live in the apartment. I don't like the apartment. I want a house. I'm living in a house. I'm used to a house. And I said, God, I'm going to try this standing on your word thing. I want an apartment. I mean, I want a house.
Yes.
And I want
yes.
a house big enough that it'll be what I need. The door opened. God gave me a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house.
Praise God.
I didn't have to go looking for it. It fell in my lap. And the only thing I had to pay to move in was the movers that brought my furniture.
Thank you, Jesus.
By speaking, I had to come to the conclusion that I had to get over myself. And when you get over yourself, see what you start to realize is that you're the one that's stopping your blessing. You are in your own way. But I got out my way. And I said, God, I stand on what you said. And see, I go way back. He said, I've never seen the righteousness.
Come on.
Nor his seed begging for bread.
Say that.
And I said, God, last time I checked, I thought I was the righteous. And you told me that you've never seen me forsaken. See, you got to give God back his word. See, that's the problem. We don't give God back his word because you don't read it. See, you get there and read it. And you read the promises. My mama used to tell me every shell is loaded. And you get in there and you understand and you start to read. See, I began to understand. I got excited as I began to read about the lady and the pots because I began to understand what it is to have an empty pot. But to have an empty pot, that's a full pot. And I know that's an oxymoron, ain't it? To have an empty pot that's a full pot. But somehow or another, that empty pot kept pouring.
Never really.
And I said, God, I'm empty. I done lost everything. I don't have nothing. I said, God, I done been through surgery after surgery after surgery. Because God knows I had probably one of the roughest 3 years of my life. I had open heart surgery, had a triple bypass.
Yeah.
Then I turned around. I lost my leg. Before that, I wound up on dialysis because I had been on blood pressure pills for years. And it was just one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. Until I got to the point that I just decided to give up. No, I really gave up. I sit there. And I said, you know what? I don't want to live no more. And I said, I'm going to end it all myself. And I made the attempt to end it. Because I'm going to tell you that depression is real. And I got depressed and I forgot about the God that I served, because all I could see was the situation that was in front of me. I couldn't see the God that stood behind the situation. All I could see was the situation. And I'm here to tell you tonight, change your glasses.
That's good.
I had to take off glasses that I had on, and I had to put on another set. And when I put on a different set of glasses, I began to see past that which was in front of me, and I could see the blessing, but I couldn't see past the situations that was in front of me. And so I said, I can't deal with this no more. I don't want to live, but God would not let me die.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you, I attempted. And if you're on the line this evening and that's how you feel, God's got a way.
Yes, he can.
There's something better. There's something much better. God's got a way. And he's got a plan for you. And God's got a real plan for you. God's got just what you need.
Please,
waiting in store for you. Psalms 23 said that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, but thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. I got one in front of me and one in the back of me. And they're going to cover me. And guess what? He said, he prepared my table in the presence of my enemies. Right when they thought they was laughing at you, right when they thought you was at your wits end, right when everybody was talking about you, right when it seemed like everything is gone, God said, right in the middle of what you're dealing with, I'll prepare the table and I'll bless you. But you got to stand on my word. Get your pot and run. I'm talking to somebody this evening. Get your pot and run. You got an empty pot, but God said, I got something in it, but you got to get it and run. Get away from the people that you're around and get your pot and run, because there's a blessing in the pot. There's a blessing inside of the pot, but everybody can't see in the pot. Because what's in the pot is just what's in the pot is just for you.
Yeah, that's good.
God got something in the pot, but you got to get the pot and run. I'm talking to somebody this evening. Get your pot and run, because there is a blessing. No, you thought all you had was a cruise of oil, but God said, no, you might not see it, but I got a blessing. No, you're not going to get evicted. It might look that way, but God said, I got the final say so. The heart of the king is in my hand. it might look like your unemployment is about to end, but little do you know, God said, no, I'll handle the extension. You thinking it's going to end, but the letter is about to come to tell you that there's an extension because God knows what you need. But see, you got to get your pot run. I got to get out of this. You got to get the pot. See, you got to have the faith to grab the pot. You got to have faith to grab the pot. Because see what you did, but the thing is, you don't see nothing in the pot. But God said, just get it. I don't care about what's in it. Just get it. And if you get it, I'll put in what's necessary. If you just do what I tell you. I know it ain't no jobs, but get your resume together.
Hallelujah.
Do what I tell you to do. Don't question me, but get the resume together because I've already created the job that's sitting there waiting on you. Just get the pot run. Somebody, this is for you because tonight was your last night. Tonight you said, this was it. I'm going to eat my cake and I'm going to die because ain't nothing to live for. But God said, get your pot run. I feel it down deep in my soul that God is speaking to somebody this evening that you thought you was at your wit's end and you thought you was down and out, but God said, get your pot and run. There's a blessing in the pot. I know it might sound funny, but there's a blessing in the pot. But you got to get your pot and run. Get it and run. And I ain't talking about take your time and walk. Run. God said, I've opened the door. Run through the door. Not walk through the door. Run through the door because I've opened it. And it can't stay open long because everybody can't go through this door. But I'm unlocking it and I'm opening it for you because there's a set of blessings that I got in store that's got your name on it. Get your pot and run. Get your pot and run. I'm excited this evening. Look, I'm excited because I feel what God is doing as God is about to open up the windows of heaven and show you a blessing.
Thank you, Lord.
You have room enough to receive. Get your pot and run. Hey, Lord, you be blessed this evening.
Amen, sir.
Man, the woman of God.
Thank you so much for that word. And I know that that word was for someone because this is really the first time that I have been over this long and only no one has hung up. No one disconnected. Everybody stayed on. So I know that you're what you say, the word that you had is going out for someone. So
amen.
I pray that it, whoever it is for, that it is a blessing for you. You were supposed
amen.
To be here this evening. You were supposed to be here, and it was for you. Don't take it for
granted.
I left the time over. We ran over just for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for the Bishop, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on and taking time to share with us the word of God. We thank each and every one of you for coming on and participating. I'm hoping and praying, you know, that the food that was served this evening was a blessing to you. The word
thank
that
you,
God
Jesus.
Says, take and eat and know that I am good. Take and eat. Know that I am good. And when you do that, when you do that, I believe that you will never run out. You will
amen.
Never run out. So I thank
amen.
You for that. We would like to invite you back next week. We will be in New Jersey with Pastor Miles. May God bless you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Amen.
Amen.
Love
Talk
Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another New Beginnings Ministry